Roll call, please.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Brandman? Director Sheldon?
Here.
Director Yeo? Director Whitaker?
Here.
Director Ta? Director Rowe?
Here.
Director Nguyen? Director Bilodeau? Director Sarmiento? We have a quorum of your committee.
Okay. Do we have any items to add to the agenda?
There are none.
All right. Do we have anybody want to speak? We'll listen. Okay. Consent calendar. Do we have a motion?
Yeah, I would move approval.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor? Oh, roll call.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Yes.
Director Rowe?
Here.
That
yep.
Motion carries 4-0.
Okay. Moving on to State Ledge.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Eric.
Hi, Eric.
We're on State Ledge right
now. Sorry, I'm late.
We're okay.
This is Don Armand. I just want to, I think we're going to start with Jason and Paul. I don't know if they're put on.
Yep, good morning. Yep, Jason and Paul Gonzalez here. And so, good morning, Madam Chair. Just a couple of brief items. I guess the good news is the bulk of legislation is still yet to be introduced. We're starting to see some bills trickle through, but with February 22nd being the deadline for bill introductions, we will see the bulk of the 2,000 plus or minus much needed proposals coming down in the next couple of weeks. So we'll keep you apprised as those start to take shape. On January 11th, Governor Newsom appointed Wade Crowfoot, who used to be the CEO of the Water Foundation and prior to that was a cabinet secretary and senior advisor to Governor Brown. Wade was appointed the secretary of the Natural Resources Agency.
Wow.
So he takes over for former Assembly Member John Laird, who had been there under the Governor Brown administration. Wade will also be and has been before various committees, kind of one of the point persons for Governor Newsom on the proposed water tax, which I know Don and Jason are going to cover. On January 14th, as you may recall, while we were down there for our OCWD ledge retreat, there was some discussion on, again, the water tax and some speculation as to how committed Governor Newsom may or may not be on the issue. That very day, he took a surprise trip to Stanislaus County with a bus of 11 of his cabinet members and to the Monterey Park Tract, the community of 240, to talk about the much-needed, reliable, safe, and affordable drinking water. So the governor's commitment is known. The governor was quoted, and then I'll probably turn it over to Don or answer any questions after this, but he says, the governor's quote was, you know what, I'm not interested in who is to blame. We have to fix this, and I have no interest in everybody making excuses and not doing it this year. If we fall short this year, that's on us, and that's a disgrace, so we're going to have to figure it out. So the governor's commitment is clear. That's not to suggest the legislature is equally committed on the proposed tax, but that's kind of where the governor is starting from, you know, particularly focusing on rural areas. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions or turn it over to the EGRS team.
Any questions? Okay. How about
all right. Good morning. This is Don. I'm pretty sure Jason is on his mail or in different locations. Thanks, Jason. So to echo Jason's sentiment or his point, the governor, then put in his budget proposal, trailer bill language. He's released that, I think, last week or so. Trailer bill language that looks a lot like SB 623 from Senator Learning a couple of years ago. So it has the water tax and it has legal immunity against code enforcement, basically, for ag and dairy in exchange for a fertilizer tax and some dairy operations taxes of some kind. And in the meantime, as reported at our retreat, CMUA and AQUA have been working very closely together on their proposal, which is, you know, to fund the need through a trust that's supported by general fund dollars. We have a $15 or $20 billion surplus, which after all is taxpayer money that does not need to operate the state right now. So why would you tax them again? So some of that would be used to generate the funding needed to cover the O&M needs to remedy the issue largely. That is actually going to appear in a bill by a Senate Democrat shortly, Senator Caballero, a moderate Democrat, and who's also doing, did last year the consolidation bill and is doing it again this year. So we have at least one vehicle, we're working on co-authors to make a mark in the Democratic caucus in the Senate to go with this route rather than the tax route. The governor is not to be underestimated, obviously, but on the other hand, a tax is a two-thirds vote bill. I'd rather be opposed, even in the era of supermajorities, to a two-thirds vote bill than be trying to get two-thirds vote, especially when there's an alternative on the table. So it won't be easy, but we have, you know, we feel decent about our chances to succeed in that being the remedy adopted by the legislature, and then we see what the governor would do. One other note of particular interest, I think, to Orange County Water District related to this is we presented this approach to the moderate Democratic caucus in the Assembly, which, you know, depending on the issue, varies as between, a dozen and maybe 20-ish members. Again, it just depends on the issue, but it was extremely well received by the caucus, who were enthusiastic about it, and Assembly Member Daly is actually considering, he's had his staff spend a lot of time on this issue, and is considering introducing his own bill in the Assembly as a trust, you know, with a trust approach. We didn't ask him to, he's just on his own interested in that, and if he doesn't do that, I think it's likely that he will, you know, co-author and bring a lot of his moderate Democratic colleagues from the Assembly to co-author the Caballero bill I mentioned early. So, actually, I think that was last night. I misspoke. There's one more thing. There was an informational hearing on this yesterday in the Assembly. Both of your firms were representing you there yesterday, and as Jason alluded to, Wade Crowfoot and others from the administration presented, and it was a very stacked hearing in favor of the tax, and with almost no airtime for the trust approach, but that's okay. We got to get votes win the day, not informational hearings. But Paul Jones from Eastern Municipal Water District did present on the kind of formally on the panel on the trust proposal. He did an excellent job, actually. And then we testified on your behalf against the tax in the public hearing, the public testimony part, just briefly. Unless you have any questions about this item, I know that Jason also has one item to report.
I have a quick question.
Okay.
Has Tom Daly considered being a sponsor for the AQUA bill?
For what bill? I'm sorry?
For the AQUA bill, for the trust?
Yeah, that's the CMUA AQUA bill. Yeah, I thought it wasn't clear. Sorry about that. He is considering authoring that bill in the Assembly. So if he does that, you'd have the Caballero bill in the Senate and basically the same bill in the Assembly, which is good. That's fine to have two of the same bills in different houses. And if he doesn't do that, and I don't know when he's going to decide, he has to decide by February 22nd, if he doesn't do that, then I think he would be a co-author of the Caballero bill, so he'd go and put his name on the Senate bill.
Okay.
So I think the short answer is yes.
Okay, thanks.
Jason, did you want to report on the atmospheric river issue?
Yeah, really quickly. One of the other things that we've been working on really relates to trying to get some additional funding for you guys and for others around the state to study and better understand atmospheric river forecasting. So we've been working with the Scripps Institute of Oceanography, Sonoma and Yuba County Water Districts, and Turlock Irrigation District primarily. So this issue kind of goes back a few years. There was an initial appropriation in the 2016-2017 state budget to support Scripps in studying how atmospheric rivers work and how they could be, how forecasting for those atmospheric rivers could be used to store more water in flood control reservoirs, which obviously the nexus to you guys, as we understand it, is Prado Dam. If there were better forecasting models for atmospheric rivers and storms that were more accurate a further period out, Prado Dam could store more water, or the core rather, could store more water behind Prado Dam that you guys could capture and use to recharge your groundwater basin. So the coalition I described is looking for a $9.25 million appropriation in this year's state budget. It's really early still in the budget process, so we don't have a ton to report, but what we do have is Alicia Duncan got the entire coalition a meeting with Carla Nemeth, the director of the Department of Water Resources, who has traditionally administered these programs. That was about mid-January. We had a really productive meeting with her. She couldn't commit to supporting the budget request, but she was going to look into it and potentially be talking to the Secretary of the Natural Resources Agency. So we have started to lay the groundwork with DWR, and hopefully we'll be working in concert with them. At the same time, next week, Greg Woodside will be coming up, and we'll be joining him for some meetings with Senator Dodd, who is he is the senator who represents Sonoma County, or one of the two senators who represents Sonoma County. He's been heavily involved in this issue already and has kind of identified himself as an earlier champion. So we'll be participating in some meetings with the senator, as well as some budget committee staff, to just kind of start the process of working this item into the budget. We'll also be setting up some time to drop in into your guys' delegation's offices as well, and we'll be starting to work there. So we really just wanted to put this out on the table. It's kind of early still, but if anyone has any questions, we'd be happy to chat.
Thank you, Jason. I just wanted to specify that the meeting with Dodd was set up by Sonoma. It wasn't set up by us. And then the budget committee staff, and then meeting with our delegation means they'll be meeting with staff, not the actual members at this point. Okay. So it's just informing staff again. I did a roundabout meeting with staff in January, letting them know that we're interested in fair. We didn't have a specific ask, and now that we have the amount in more detail, we can start to let them know there is an ask.
Yeah, just as a little background information, the committee and the board members may recall that we've been involved in a study with Scripps over the last 2 years. The study was called FIRO, Forecast Informed Reservoir Operations. And that's the issue that we're talking about now. So, the program started with Sonoma County Water. Up on Lake Mendocino, and they were the ones that got the initial DWR funding in the budget. And as was explained, what we're trying to do now is add additional money into the budget, because as a part of our study, what we want to use is Prado Dam as a case study. And so we're moving forward on several different fronts. One is with Scripps to perform the study, and that's, we put money in the budget for next year to continue that. That will be an ongoing project, if you will. And then we kind of have a two-pronged attack now, one at the state level to try to get funding for a part of the study through DWR, and then also on the federal side also. We're working with Sonoma and with Scripps to try to get money through NOAA to help with the work that has to be done above and beyond our study. And I'll just jump in, even though we're talking state. So next week, Greg is going up on the 13th to help try to get additional funding in DWR's budget. At the end of the month, Sonoma is making a trip back to D.C. We did this last year also. I went back with them, and we went to NOAA and some of the other offices. And they're planning on doing that again. I think it's the last week of this month.
Are you thinking of going with them?
Right now, we're trying to find out who's going from their side. I think that we should have representation at those meetings. And we want to get an idea of whether Grant Davis, their general manager, is going. If he's going, then I may attend also. Whether they're bringing elected officials with them or keeping it at the staff level. We're trying to figure that out, I think, right now. And then once we get that information, then we'll work with the board president, the executive committee, and figure out exactly what our level of effort should be in that D.C. trip. So it's a little bit in flux right now.
Any other questions or comments? I have one. I noticed, I read in the paper that Marty Ralphs was working, at Scripps was working on a number value for atmospheric river storms, and is that going to come into this? So if you have a 1, then you can probably capture the water. If you have a 5, you know, it's just going to be so overwhelming you can't, and how do you plan for that and stuff?
You know, I don't know that we've talked to Marty about that. Greg, do you have any inside information?
Marty and the Weather Service and some other researchers have published a paper with their ranking system.
Right.
Somewhat similar to a hurricane ranking system, 1 to 5. It's probably more for public communication than the real things that we'll do. That's generally how we characterize it. That it's for the weather forecasters to communicate to the public and maybe kind of some decision makers, but more to the public. The actual forecasts have much more detail to them. And that's what we would use.
Okay.
I heard a recent news report characterizing this most recent series as a 4, was what I heard recently. I don't know where that was coming from.
No. I know that he's, Marty's reached out to Fritz Coleman, who, you know, does our summit, to try and make it more mainstream so that people really understand. And so that's exactly what they're trying to do, is just get the general public to understand what's happening. So.
But for us, the importance in the studies is not only the intensity of the storm, but where it's going to track.
Right.
I mean, whether it's a little bit north of us, or whether it's going to hit Prado dead on, or a little bit south, or whatever. Because hopefully, I mean, the hope is to be able to get the core to use that as a tool to help inform them as to when storms are going to come. As an example, the past couple storms we've had this year, the big ones, we've gotten close to 505,
right.
And then the Corps pre-releases. They see a storm on the horizon, so they'll actually start dropping the water level behind the reservoir instead of keeping it at 505, thinking that then by the end of the next storm it'll go back up to 505. Well, they've undershot both times.
Mm.
And so we're trying to get that. If they had a tool that they could rely on, then they could change the way they look at holding water behind Prado and help us optimize the amount of water that we can capture.
Bruce, that's interesting that you saw that it was a 4, and the article I read may have been before these last storms, but I think they were rated at a 2. At the time. So it's a big rate.
Well, not all these storms have been atmospheric rivers either.
Right.
I think there's been one atmospheric river that's come through so far.
Things that come from the south.
In the series. The atmospheric rivers, they originate out in the Pacific, out around the Hawaiian Islands, as opposed to sliding down the coast from Alaska.
Which are typical storms. Everything's called an atmospheric river now. Before it used to be, it's El Nino.
Right.
I have a question, madam. What's your action on this item?
It will be part of the to agendize and to approve the ledge.
I think Director Sheldon, this is an informational item, just to let the committee know that we're working with DWR to try to get additional money into the budget to help support the research that we're doing on atmospheric
Good.
But it's part of our LEDGE platform and our federal and state LEDGE goals, so it really is.
There's no motion. I think it was an update. There's no motion, apparently.
Yeah, we're working in Sacramento. We're working in D.C. to try to support the work that we're doing in our cities.
On FYRO. But the rest
the
of
action.
It.
I would move that our consultants and staff continue working on this.
Okay. And how about the rest of it?
And the other items on the agenda.
What we were hoping for at the LEDGE retreat, we mentioned we'd bring the language back to be approved by ComLEDGE, and so that's why we're asking for approval of the language that you developed at the LEDGE retreat. So that's the formal action we were hoping to get.
Okay, that would be my motion then.
Okay.
Thank you for clarifying.
Second.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. All of Estela?
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Yes.
Director Rowe?
Yes.
Director Wynn?
Yes.
That motion carries 5-0.
Okay. Is that all? Okay.
I think that's it on the state side.
Okay, moving on to Fed.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
And Don.
Don.
Everybody else who was there.
I talked to Jason last week.
Yep, you're welcome.
He wants to keep it up on the Fed.
Okay.
Jim, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. You want to start?
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'm going to start this morning by talking about the prospects for a budget agreement to finally resolve the remaining appropriation bills for the last 8 months of the current fiscal year. The sticking point, of course, has been funding for the border wall, which is what led to the shutdown of the federal government in January. Now the House and Senate Appropriations Committees are meeting. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has told conferees to reach an agreement without input from the White House, because the president can change his mind from 1 minute to the next. So the new Democratic chair of the Appropriations Committee in the House, Congresswoman Nita Lowey from New York, thinks that there will be at least congressional agreement, perhaps as soon as tomorrow, on how to proceed. It would seem likely that there won't be money for a wall, per se, or at least a wall maybe in the president's definition, but there will be considerable additional funding for various border security measures. If that's the case, then that, depending on the president's reaction to that, that leaves open the possibility of his declaring a national emergency, which he has said that he would do, and that the plan would be to reprogram up to $7 billion in existing appropriated funds for the emergency. And that would include $3 billion from the Army Corps of Engineers. Obviously, $3 billion reprogramming from the Corps would create a massive hole in their construction budget, and that includes the Santa Ana River Mainstem project, which has about $70 million in program funds, program but unspent funds currently in its account, though much of those funds have already been obligated through contract. However, the $3 billion could obviously not be spent in this fiscal year, and it would have to be spread over several fiscal years. In one sense, the declaration of national emergency would be the easiest way to break the impasse, because the president could say that he's building the wall and go ahead and sign the appropriation bills for the rest of the current fiscal year. Depending on one's point of view, having the Corps in charge could be either problematic or great. If you've ever dealt with the Corps, you're aware that many of us on this call could be dead before they get the wall built. But a declaration of national emergency has several implications. One, it could suspend environmental regulations, but that would immediately be challenged in court, of course. And as you've heard the president rail many times in the past, it only takes a single federal judge to issue an injunction until the issue can be heard in trial. Two, a declaration of a national emergency could suspend eminent domain. That's how the federal government acquired El Toro and Camp Pendleton in World War II. But that would be challenged in court as well. It could suspend the competitive construction bidding process, but that would be challenged. And fourth, on my list, it could abrogate existing obligated funds, such as on the San Ana River, but that too would be challenged. So there are all sorts of legal impediments, and I think that this is perhaps what has given the administration pause in not having issued a declaration of national emergency up to this point. But on top of all of that, the declaration can also be invalidated by a majority vote of Congress. The House would certainly do that if he were to issue the declaration, and it would put great pressure on the Senate, where it would just take five Republicans to join 46 Democrats to overturn it, and then it would be dead, period. So there are a lot of roadblocks to consider in the case of this national emergency declaration, and he obviously did not mention that he was going to do it in the State of the Union address on Tuesday evening, so we'll see how this is all going to unfold, but we're hopeful that at least the FY19 appropriation process may be concluded now and within the next week without another shutdown of the federal government. So that's where I'll stop this morning.
Okay.
Hey, I was just going to add to Jim on the redirecting the money from the Army Corps of Engineers, is that the Office of Management and Budget, OMB, and the Corps have said the money that they're targeting will be unobligated funds, so funds that have not already been spent for projects, and also would be targeting the disaster relief funds that were allocated to the Corps a few months ago.
Oh, yeah.
For projects in parts of California, Texas, and the Southeast. But the Republicans in both the House and Senate have urged the White House not to touch it. So I think it would be a very heavy lift for the staff.
Okay. Do you have anything else, Lori?
No, I'm just saying, also I've talked to the Energy and Water Appropriation clerks are beginning to start planning for the next fiscal year, FY2020, because the Corps has already been funded. And then one other thing to add is that the president's budget, which we always look for the top line numbers for EPA and for the state revolving loan fund and for WIFIA for Corps of Engineers, traditionally comes out the first week of February, but the president has delayed it to mid-March.
Ooh, okay.
And once those budget numbers come out, we will give you an update on that.
Okay. Next, Eric? Is Eric?
Yes, good morning, everybody. Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Just to add on to what Laura was saying, our understanding on any possible declaration, it would be focused on the defense side of the budget now, because a number of members have contacted the White House and said, don't you dare touch the core civilian side of the budget. So we'll just have to wait and see how it all shakes out. I've got three items to quickly go over. First of all, on water recycling, Representative Napolitano will introduce next week her water recycling bill, providing $500 million over 5 years to support the WIN program as far as authorizing and constructing new water recycling projects. The legislation will also increase the cap from $20 million to $30 million, and she will have, we think, bipartisan support on the legislation. The second, going over to the Senate side, Senator Feinstein's staff has informed us that the senator is committed to working on water recycling and desalinization project assistance in the coming months. So you can see that you have a bicameral approach to dealing with water infrastructure on the water recycling side taking shape that will proceed independent of the national infrastructure policy debate that's going on right now as we speak in the House before the Transportation Infrastructure Committee. And then the second piece of information on the infrastructure hearings that are going on right now, Mayor Garcetti just testified in response to a question sort of generally. His response on infrastructure and ways to finance infrastructure, he said, you can do public-private partnerships with transportation, but on water, we need government programs of assistance. So that's a good thing. And then finally, a couple of hours ago, the Speaker of the House appointed members to the Select Committee on Climate Crisis, and Representatives Levin and Huffman were appointed to that committee, which is very good for the district as it promotes responses to climate resiliency needs. So the district is in a very good position to push its issues of concern and interest, ranging from water recycling to ferro to storage at Prado, given the way the committee assignments are shaking up. And I will end there.
Any questions or comments?
I have a quick question. When we visited with Congressman Levin, he had mentioned contacting Congressman Huffman and that some of the committee members about coming to the Water District. Do you know where that is?
Yes. We've been working with them, with Representative Huffman, and pushing for, he wants to come out and visit the district. He, in his office, has reached out to all the delegation members to talk about coming out to Orange County Water to visit. The big issue is timing. Until the 15th comes and goes of this month and they figure out whether or not the government's funded, they don't know what the congressional calendar is going to look like. But as of yesterday, speaking with Representative Huffman's chief of staff, they are prepared to move forward quickly when they know when they have a week-long recess that they can get out to California and do this type of meeting. But according to them, this is a commitment that they want to make, and Representative Levin is involved in the discussions with Mr. Huffman.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
That's good news.
Yes.
I just wanted to ask the group whether they could maybe give us a short update on committee assignments for our delegation, whether you'd like on TNI and some of the other committees that we would have issues working through.
Happy to jump in and do that first off then. So from a committee perspective, the good news is that Representative Ruta was put on the Transportation Infrastructure Committee, and he's sitting on the Water Resources Subcommittee, which has jurisdiction over the State Revolving Loan Fund Program, as is Representative Lowenthal. From a water recycling perspective, you have Representative Levin sitting on the Natural Resources Committee and sitting on the Subcommittee on Water, Oceans, and Wildlife that deals with water recycling, desalinization policy issues. From the other members, Representative Porter is on financial services. Representative Correa continues to sit on the Department of Homeland Security. And then, as I mentioned, Representative Lowenthal is on TNI, but he is also on natural resources. And I am missing somebody, so Lori or Jim, if you want to bail me out, jump in.
What about Cisneros?
Oh, Cisneros, thank you.
And Porter?
Cisneros is on Veterans Affairs, and Porter is Financial Services.
Hmm. Maybe what we'll do is we'll get a list of those.
Okay.
We'll compile a list of those and email them out to the board.
Okay.
Just as an FYI.
Mike, we have that. I thought I had sent that.
You have.
I'll do that as soon as
at least I got it.
I'll send it out as soon as I hang up.
Eric, don't worry. We already have it, and I just need to recirculate.
Okay.
You did send
you
it.
You did.
To us. Yeah, I've seen. Okay, do we have a recommended motion? Oh, please,
just one other thing before we hang up. We are tentatively scheduling a trip to Washington, D.C. I think it's later next month. March 25th, 6th, and 7th. So right now I think it's President Sarmiento and I would be going back, and we're working with the consultants to line up meetings with the different agencies and representatives.
Okay. Do we have a recommended action that we want to take on this? It seems like we've taken it with the state. Yes, Eleanor.
I just wanted to remind the board members that we do have many upcoming meetings with state and federal electeds. Alicia has sent out the notices, and I know that it was mentioned last night as well by President Sarmiento to please reach out to Alicia for RSVPs, but wanted to make sure that they were all on your radar. Assemblymember Depp is tomorrow. The time did change, though, to
four o'clock.
Today is Supervisor Chafee.
Right. And then we have Congresswoman Porter on the 19th for a tour here. We have Congressman Ruta on the 21st for a tour here. Senator Archuleta on the 22nd. And then we're hosting an ACCOC joint tour with OCSD on the 22nd as well. And that's going to be mostly staffers, probably from the elected offices.
It's civic council members and then also legislative staffers that we've invited. I'm not sure if we want a board member. It starts at Orange County Sanitation District. I'm not sure if we want a board member there to greet people or not. That's just an option that we'll throw out there.
But Mike is going to do Senator Archuleta, I think, and then John Kennedy is going to do the ACCOC tour.
Tours.
Mm-hmm. And then we also have Friday, March 22nd, Umberg is coming for a tour at 1 o'clock.
And keep in mind, the ones with particularly Congress members Ruta and Porter are subject to what's going on back in D.C.,
right.
So those could very easily be canceled, but we'll keep everyone informed as to if the schedules change.
Can you get an email of that list you just read?
I can do that. But yeah, keep in mind they will possibly change.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So the motion from State Ledge took care of Fed too. So we're okay. Okay. So now we'll move on to the mascot.
Yes, so Gina Ayala is going to give a brief presentation on this topic. That's always difficult subject.
That's not a good start.
Are we off the call?
Yes.
So that was our three lobbyists in Washington, D.C., right?
Yes.
Our three lobbying firms.
What a mess it got to this point. I hope you guys did a really good job.
Okay, good morning. OCWD mascot, just wanted to give a brief presentation to provide a bit of background and context. The board approved in the late 90s the creation of the Ginny Groundwater mascot costume, which is featured here in the picture. And at that time, Ginny was used primarily for the Children's Water Education Festival and to serve as an ambassador at events throughout the community. The concept of Ginny, she was first created through MODOC school education program for the books for third grade education to explain the groundwater story, along with Ricky Raindrop, who told the story of imported water. So MODOC does have their Ricky Raindrop in. In 2017, they actually allocated about $10,000, and they did a redesign of their mascot, and they launched a new Ricky Raindrop in September of 2017. So currently, the item is on the agenda because the Ginny costume is outdated and is in need of repairs and cleaning.
20 years old.
Yeah, the costume's no longer durable and kind of restricts motion, which is really essential in a mascot costume. So staff has been researching and exploring creating
in good form today.
A new mascot. So if we did that, we would hire a company to design and create it. The cost is approximately $15,000. And in order to create a little bit more buzz around the story, we would possibly integrate a naming or a backstory contest to the public so that we'd have more mass appeal and participation.
Would we change the name?
Yeah, so we are proposing that we would change the name and change up Ginny Groundwaters. And
Abby Aquifer. April Aquifer. Because you got to have it, like, yeah. Phonetically, Ginny Groundwater isn't the best because they're not phonetically
right.
The same in the of the pronunciation.
Oh, I can tell this is going to be a long process.
Yeah. Could be fun, though.
I have a question.
Yeah.
That $15,000, is that just for the design, or is that for the design of the costumes too?
The design of the costume and actually making the costume to produce it.
Oh, okay.
Yes, the total cost. Yeah, and that is an estimate. When I mentioned that MODOK spent about $10,000, they actually didn't spend money for a design. That was just for the costume. So I believe they did their design in house.
And the costume was ordered from
Canada. So they had some extra fees associated with. Yeah, importing that over here as well.
Willy water.
Yeah, there's a lot of companies that specialize in this mascot. So, you know, we definitely would.
I was at the court, we had a contest for the employees to submit their design.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we can. Mm-hmm. Do that for our employees.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
It could be a fun exercise.
And mm-hmm. Oh, and it's really amazing. We had some really
good
wonderful
ideas.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. There's
time for an ad hoc.
Make some t-shirts.
So some of the mascot uses, as I mentioned previously, the costume and, you know, the mascot used to go to a lot of events. Now the trend is using the mascots a lot on social media. Mm-hmm. So we've looked at a lot of research that points to this has really helped companies increase their social media followers, their engagement, increase their name recognition. So we would propose that we primarily use it to help the district boost the social media. Some of these mascots, they have their own social media accounts and they have hundreds and thousands of followers. So really interesting. So we do posts and campaigns, videos. We'd also use it to complement our tour program. As you know, a large majority of people that come here and tour are students. So we'd have kind of fun ways and photo ops to use it there. Another use of mascots by companies is to enhance employee morale. It's kind of a fun thing to add some humor and personality. So we'd also look at incorporating it into some OCWD employee events. Some of the mascots' benefits I'll go over briefly, but I mentioned increasing OCWD awareness, increasing our social media followers, an opportunity to forge new partnerships. I know it sounds bizarre, but they have like mascot meetups and all kinds of things where
and competitions.
Competitions. there's a lot of other venues where we could participate, of course, with the approval of Mike and the board here. It provides an unchanging face for OCWD, and it's an opportunity to kind of have a little bit of fun so that we can appeal to the masses and have a little bit of personality on behalf of OCWD. So as we mentioned, it would support district tours and educational programs like our Next Gen. We could also have it at festival as well. And that would enhance employee morale. Mascots are not unique. We often think of them as for universities and sports teams, but they're also widely used by companies and government agencies nationally and internationally. Here's just a list of a few. A lot of water agencies have them. Met, MODOC, Central Basin, LADWP, AWWA, the Corps has it. Denver Water, and the next slide depicts some of the mascots that belong to the agencies. And I just wanted to briefly... That's actually Denver Water. So Denver has done a lot of creative campaigns, and they've got a lot of... went viral on some of their videos. We'll see if it comes up here. I just wanted to show you briefly. They featured... okay... yeah, they featured a running toilet at a football game, which was tackled.
Oh my gosh. Who did that?
Denver Water.
Water.
Call him WC.
That is hilarious.
So now we're changing, huh?
Kind of more positive.
Stop running toilets.
We should like hire one of those to like walk in front of the sand district.
Now, which employee is going to end up paying? You're tall enough, you're out of the running.
You're out of the running.
You're out of the running, you're too tall.
We have all been Jenny Groundwater at one point. We've had interns, other staff members have volunteered, but the current costume it's just very cumbersome, and it's pretty unbearable to be in for great lengths of time, so for just that element alone, just to craft something that's
the
a little bit more
breathable. The toilet
seems more
sand district to me.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
So the ideal mascot, we've researched, there are a lot of positive features to have in a mascot to allow it to be animated and to tell a story. So it would be a simple design, durable and comfortable, gender neutral appearance, something that allows for a free range of motion. So you could have arms and head and feet so that it can do expressions and be more animated. Something that really pops and photographs well and then has very simple and subtle features for the eyes and mouth. And then something where we could put accessories on, so to celebrate maybe Water Awareness Days or Earth Day or seasonal or teams, to participate in kind of trending subjects, maybe like the Super Bowl, to have fun with some of these things.
Do we get to send them to get tackled?
That is an option. So some of the positive traits and characteristics are featured in some of these iconic mascots, like Mickey Mouse and Minnie. There's Gritty. Gritty from the national hockey team. I believe it was in Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
Right, John?
He's a big one up there.
Yeah.
And the Philly fan, too, which is a mascot.
Mm-hmm. That's the University of Oregon, Puddles, the duck.
Mm-hmm.
And, they have huge followings on social media. And then the rabbit from Nestle Quick. Some examples of maybe things that we want to stay away from.
Yeah,
that is actually the LADWP water drop featured next to the mayor's. It was kind of sad. And no offense to Stanford, but the lovely tree. Probably that's a tree. Sorry. So next steps, we'd like the board to consider moving forward with this, to consider whether or not they would want to approve the creation and design, which would be for an amount of up to $15,000. If the board decide to do so, we would hire a company to design and create the costume, solicit a contest. We would, of course, meet with members to brainstorm other ideas as well to create buzz and excitement around this. And then we would commemorate the retirement of Jenny Groundwater in a fun way that we could share with the public. launch a new video of our mascot and create social media campaigns to complement that, and then figure out how to incorporate the mascot into our tour program and into employee events as well. So that concludes the presentation.
And Director
Rowe. I wanted to turn it over to Director Rowe, who actually came by and shared some pictures and has a good story about a mascot that's used in Jordan in a really fun way.
It's 12 years ago, I was working for a U.S. Agency for International Development as the, they're called Chief of Party or Program Manager for this multi-year program called Pollution Prevention for Environmental Health Protection. And it was like a kitchen sink, and everything was included in this project, one of which was education of children. So we had a program to go to about 100, actually about 50 schools, outreach to about 4,500 kids. And we had developed, through some consultants that were in Jordan, say this is a federal program that we pay for, I was a federal officer. And we had this one consultant came in, which developed a character which was really exciting to me, because like you always see these characters in water business. They're usually a fat body and narrow head, and there's not much space to put in an expression of a face to get emotions or positive or negative things. What we were trying to do was to change behaviors of kids and how they deal with pollution and water use. So we came up with this character. In English, it's called Splash, and I think that was a really exciting program we had, where we provided baseball caps, mugs, backpacks that we gave to kids. We had this agency also provided a little play that would show the cycle of water using puppeteers and this other unique sort of way of making the play using a clear plastic curtain with a scene that kind of rotated through there. And it was kind of neat seeing all the kids attend this and hear about the cycle of water, and it's going through the aquifers and it encounters pollution, which is bad. And here the puppets make some expressions. There's a little girl, Amal, who means hope in Arabic, and the flower that she loves in Tartush, or the Splash, getting acquainted with it. So I like the staff to consider this as one of the mascot potentials. I think it has a lot of good potential for us to use here. When I was on the board, when I was doing this, I thought it'd be great for Orange County to do this. I didn't know that you're trying to retire Jenny when I came on. I figured I'd present it later, but here's an opportunity. I have a lot of photos and videos from that time 12 years ago, and I can get in contact with people to come up with better material. One of the things we had cartoons showing good and bad behavior of people. And Tartush would have a big smiley face with good behavior and thumbs up. And that's not typically a raindrop sort of thing. It's like a splash, where it's like kind of a larger head or facial expression. And anybody can fit in this sort of costume, I think, that can be developed. So I'd like the board to consider that. For further consideration, maybe you don't have to do all this, and maybe you take Splash by itself and develop it further.
Don't they have rights to that? Take somebody.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's something to consider. It's federal government. See what the contract is, but we could contact them also. They work at about the way the rest of the world works. It's about 20% of the cost of labor here than here. In Jordan. So things are a lot cheaper for labor in the Middle East and outside of the U.S.
I would rather do things in the United States.
Well,
I mean, given a
why don't we do, I think we should consider that as one of the options when we do the process.
Yeah. Right.
It sounds interesting.
If you could connect us to whomever at the federal department, and we could discuss copyright and possibility.
It may not be copyright.
It may not be. Like I said, the contract was through the federal government, and we may have a stipulation there that it's the federal government's, and it's another country, so we can develop here. And I think we can polish it up with some cartoonists with Disney, perhaps, get them engaged to kind of have a nicer sort of design that applies to what would be American expressions.
Well, it is time for an update. I think the big drip is kind of overdone. as I'm I think that it really needs to tap into a more youthful thinking as well. Your comments about the shape not really being desirable for a number of reasons I think are on target, but the name I think is going to be fairly critical on it too.
Well, I think splash was just to break myself, but there's other opportunities. It's like a noun and a verb at the same time.
I'll move the item. Recommendation.
Can I ask a question? We also going to incorporate Dina's idea, maybe to.
Dina's comment is the best one because, look, this is more the value of this is more the exercise of going through. Yeah. Look how much conversation.
Getting the excitement.
Sure, you're not the
destination. And it's hard to get people excited about things that we're doing. This could be one of those things that everybody has an opinion on.
Yeah.
Good with you.
Add that to the motion.
So I just I just ask that the dimensions of the new costume be to Director Sheldon. Exactly fitted for him.
180 pounds.
Got that good physique.
Okay, do we have a second?
With a spare tire.
We have a motion and a second. Okay.
Director
Green?
Yes.
Director Sheldon?
Here, yes.
Director Whitaker?
Yes.
Director
Rowe?
Yes.
Director Wynn?
Yes.
That motion carries 5-0.
Good.
Okay. Shall we have items 2 and 4 on the consent calendar? Do we have any directors' announcements or comments?
No.
No? General Manager?
Nothing.
Okay, we're adjourned.